wanted to invite you out for next Sunday night, 6:30, Connection Service. Bunch of really good singers. Got the guitars going, drum, usually tambourine, one of those maracos, you know, Morocco. I'll get it right. And, you know, good singing, message. Mike Gogel hadn't had a chance to give a message. Really good teacher and gives God's good word. He, along with, just to give a plug for the ones watching out for the teens, Mike and Patrick and Joe and Justin. Patrick, do you teach during Sunday school? That's what I'm talking about. anybody who has it teaching the teenagers, Renee, do you still do that? Okay. But anyway, some of these folks who teach teenagers, I mean, they're really on the ball. And they know the scripture, you know, and they love the young ones. So we're thankful for them. But all of that to say, Mike does that also. And next Sunday night, he'll be giving the message. So that'll be a real nice time. And when we come to the Lord's table, it's very good to take a close look at the health of our own soul. God's word tells us to do that. Let a man examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. And one question you can ask yourself in examining your own soul is simply this. What are some of the pivotal moments in your life where you had to really turn and ask Jesus for help? Pivotal moments in your life. They may have been times of great sadness and trauma, or they may have been times of great blessing and joy. But Jesus wants us to know he was there, especially based on the passage that we're going to look at. On the sadness and trauma side, a group of Christians just shared with one another, you know, it was a group of leaders doing this, and they talked back and forth to each other. Sadness and trauma side, death of a loved one. Really had to trust God during that time. Or when the doctor said, there's no cure to that illness you have. When I lost my job, someone said. Or when our family fell apart, real rough time. Someone said 9/11, because that affected them personally. Some of their family members were in the military, so that would mean they would be going places they didn't plan on going. And, you know, they would be on a new mission. And someone said real openly, when I sinned greatly, I really had to turn to God. I had nowhere else to turn. And God was ready to meet them there. Jesus was. On the blessing side, pivotal moments in people's personal history. When I met my spouse, can you remember the month? I remember our month was February. Nothing to do with Valentine's Day. Okay, it was just in the providence of God. Someone put my wedding day, children's births. Someone said, having a problem with their own ego, the day of my own birth, pivotal moment. They thought life-changing in history there. But another said, when I received Christ and decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. That's a song. When I decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. Another said, when I'm filled with God's Spirit. There's times where you just say, God, it's all you and please none of me and fill me with yourself. And there you go following the Lord. And another said, when my family turned to Christ, that's always a highlight. And then somebody put this, was real insightful, and everybody said, I never thought of that one. Every Lord's Day in church, pivotal moment in my own personal history. You say, nah. Well, add them up, you know. No, you don't want to add them up for number's sake, but add them up in terms of opportunities to experience God. Special turning point, beginning of each week, the Lord gives us. The Apostle Paul, he writes this letter from jail. Turning point in his life, I'm in jail. I'm writing letters to churches that will make impact for 2,000 years. That's a turning point he didn't maybe know about. And so he writes to the Colossians that part of his turning point was realizing that Jesus was the pivotal moment in all of human history. Jesus. all of human history. Therefore, Jesus and what he did, the cross and resurrection and knocking on the door of Paul's life, that was the pivotal moment in Paul's personal history too. If Jesus is the pivotal moment in all of history, from B.C. to A.D., he certainly is the pivotal moment in our personal histories, whether we acknowledge that or not. Same thing with human history or secular history, which really is doesn't even exist. Jesus is still the pivotal moment, whether people acknowledge him or not. So the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "Jesus is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the church." I was thinking of the old Super Bowl tonight. I don't know what the stats are, but so many million people will watch that. Good, bad, or indifferent, you know. Others will be watching 60 Minutes. Others will be, you know, as the old Christian said, "I won't be watching the Super Bowl. I'll be having my devotions." And sure, you know, whatever. whatever you want to say about yourself, good for you. We just hope it makes an impact on others. Jesus, the head of the church, certainly is he in regards to other events. Certainly, more people turning to him on a Sunday than going to watch a real good event tonight, hopefully, some kind of goodness out of it. And listen for the testimonies about the Lord if you watch that. But Jesus, the center of history, the center of our personal history, he's the center of the Old Testament. Make that the point of reading that. He's the center of the New Testament. Make him the point of your reading the New Testament. He's the center of the Bible. Make him the point of reading the whole Bible. He's the center of your prayer life. He talks to the Father about you more than you talk to him about you. So he's the great prayer warrior on your behalf. And his Spirit is too. The Spirit prays for you and I when we don't know what to say or how to pray. And so God, talking to himself about us, he's really the center of even our conversation with God. So that in all things, Jesus might have the supremacy or have first place. The Amplified Bible puts that truth this way. In him, all things consist, are held together, so that he alone, in every respect, might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. Okay, that's who he is. That's how we want to relate to him in life's adventures. In human history, for sure, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. We have a little thing in our family where we talk about kingdoms. And we change whatever we're eating into a kingdom. Fantastic spaghetti. This is the best spaghetti in all of spaghettidom. Okay? Or pizza. Or my two family members now with a beard. Look at those beards. Some of the best beards in all of bearddom. There. But domain of beards. The domain of the Lord. The earth is full of his glory. And Jeremiah said, doesn't he fill heaven and earth? So when Jesus said the kingdom of God is near, he was saying, I'm showing it to you visibly who the Lord is. And not just across human history, but Paul made it personal. In him we live and move and have our being. He keeps our heart going, you know. He faces our Mondays with us. And every other day of the week, every joy, every trial, he's right in the middle of it. Paul said, in terms of living life, it wasn't him who lives, but Christ who lives in him. Not I, but Christ. Certainly, as a Christian, you know, I would hope, that it's not your personality that makes the huge difference, nor your intelligence, nor your strength, nor your accomplishments. You could worship at the shrine of those things all you want, but it's Christ in you that makes the difference in who you are. Not you, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. And Christ in you, the confidence of glory. I forgot one up there, Philippians. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And this one, he provides for us food and fills our heart with joy. Again, that was addressed to people who did not know God at all. All of human history. God gives the food, God gives the joy. He's first in everything. He's first in Putin's life. Not in terms of salvation, but in terms of Putin's not going to breathe or scratch an itch on his head unless the Lord gives him permission. As Jesus said about Pilate, you wouldn't even be where you are if it was not for my Father in heaven. Okay, so it's Christ. First place in all things. All things means all things. And so in our personal history, we covet that. Especially in the difficult times. Someone said our life is like a puzzle. You empty the pieces of a puzzle, 1,000 pieces laying on your dining room table. You pick up a piece and you look at it and you say, this makes no sense whatsoever. This day, chaos, weird shape, don't know where it fits in. Throw the whole box away, you know. Now you hold on to that and you put it there. And then you get another piece and another piece. And you may not even see how it's going to fit together. But you turn that box over, and maybe it's a picture, if it was a puzzle, about, you know, God's handiwork, or about a portrait of Jesus or the cross. You say, aha, this all fits together to honor Christ. Even this day that the Lord happened to make, that I wish he didn't even make, but he made it, so I put it in the puzzle. And his hand is there. And so, in all things, he holds it together, holds us together. Look how many times we have fallen apart, and the Lord held us together. We're here worshiping him, so he must have held us together to a great extent. Someone said, too, that our life was like a musical. If you like musicals, I heard a lot of musicals when I was little. I can give you, if you're not interested, but The Sound of Music, West Side Story, The King and I. That was like early 60s. I can sing the whole thing to you. My family really resents that when I start. But your life is like a musical. And sometimes we feel it's a terrible musical if it's a musical. Life is out of control. We're on the platform and people around us are getting hurt. They're falling down. They're in pain. They're crying out. The background and backdrop is falling. Lights are coming crashing down, and we think the Lord is, you know, standing off to the side, saying, you know, oh my, what am I going to do with all this? You know, this is totally out of control. I don't know what happened here. And he's saying, I wish somebody would help me, and I would come and help the poor, independent mob out there. And that's not the way the Bible pictures our life. The Bible does picture our life like this, if it was a musical. Words written by the Lord. He's before all things. Words written by the Lord. Events directed by the Lord. Written and directed by the Lord Jesus. Main character in the musical, it's not you and I. Jesus is the main character in the musical of your life. And everything that happens, he's in it. He's there to help. He's there to direct to himself. He's there so that the focus would go from even what we're going through to what we're going through with him. Emphasis on him. And so what a wonderful Savior he is. That he would be before all things in everything, have the supremacy. One Christian counselor put it this way. He said, God is the author of every detail of your story. Even those bad, painful ones we heard in Sunday school. People lying and God sending even situations of deception so that his way would come to pass. God writes into your story every situation, location, and relationship. He knows the help you will need to embrace him. So he promises his friendship and faithfulness. And Jesus, Lord of your life, you know, supreme in all things, first place in all things. And how faithful he is. There was a survivor from Oklahoma tornado survivor, where the town got wiped out, lost some of his friends and neighbors. He says it's not easy to have faith that God is good when the puzzle's pieces don't fit. But it's more offensive to our minds and to life itself to say that this pain has no purpose. No, Jesus' hand is with you in the pain. In the things that we talked about, those times of loss, pain, difficulty, confusion, could you see? Well, Jesus was in the center of all of those moments. And he was directing them back to himself, reconciling himself to all things. Here's a good little picture that shows Jesus preeminent in all of life, certainly preeminent in the church. So we gather to honor him. It's sweet to honor God as a group of people. In times of joys, we know they're all from his hand. In times of sadness, we know he's in the brokenness as much as the sad times. I don't like to sing, but it's probably true, and the old timers say it. I learn more about the Lord in the rough times than the good times. That may be true, but we pray for the good times, don't we? Which we covet. In the rough times, spiritually even, keep in mind who the Lord is first place. Let's say you went home today and you went to your kitchen, and the kitchen was empty except for you. And then all of a sudden the devil himself came to your kitchen. I mean, the devil. And he brought with him every demon that ever rebelled against God. And so there was all that evil in your kitchen. And then they brought with them 12 mass murderers to sit there and fill your kitchen. And there you are. And there you are. And there they are. And there Jesus is. Jesus is there. And so he is Lord of them. And that room, by the way, is not filled like with, oh, it's just evil from wall to wall. No, it's God from wall to wall. Because he fills heaven and earth. And all the evil in the world and all the fears and the projections you and I have about things that are against God, which are evil and true and probably more evil and true than we realize, are not as great as God himself. He has the supremacy in your kitchen. Okay. So you make sure you focus on him. Since he is really what's happening there. He's really what's happening. And let the others do their sad part, for sure. But to be able to know that in our sadness, our family life, we commit it to God. God chooses that for us. Our work life, work is a part of paradise, by the way. Adam and Eve worked before they fell. We work now imperfectly. We'll be working most likely in the new heavens and new earth. I'm going to get some calluses I never had down here. Finally going to get to work the way I should be working in heaven. Education, to know Christ is the point of education. He's the source of all wisdom. Character. Lord, he can change us from the way we are to filled with his spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. Finance is a big deal in the American mindset, finances. But to know Jesus owns everything. So it's his checkbook. It's his savings account. It's his house where you live. It's his car that you drive. It belongs to him, so you could treat it accordingly. It's not yours. Health. To commit that to the Lord. He cares about our health. Mental health is an important aspect of this. The body of Christ has kind of ignored mental health, but our brain, you know, it's an organ. So we want to take care of our brain and our mind, our thinking patterns. God can help us with that to honor him, give us the mind of Christ, even when we're broken in that area. Nation and missions, Jesus, Lord of America. And we're thankful for some of the founders who pointed that out. But we don't He was going to be Lord of America, whether the founders did it or not, because all the nations are under him. And all the nations are a drop in the bucket, but all the nations are loved by God. So we could say, God loves America. God loves the Russian people. God loves the North Korean people. That's why we're engaged to be sent to nations and sub-nations in our own community. Just a plug for Black History Month, February. You know, and if somebody asks, you know, how are you going to celebrate Black History Month in your church? I don't know. You know, we have to befriend one or two first, you know. But as people, we are sent to minority groups. I don't know if you realize that. We're sent to minority groups with the gospel. So we have a responsibility in that area. You want to take that on. Where's Rachel Wilson? She went to the minority group of Ethiopia. 60 million, right? Something like that. And so that's our calling in life. You know, we don't have to just be like who we are. It's a responsibility. Community, to go and bless, serve others, the friendships we have, to have Jesus Lord of all. And about Jesus being first and having this supremacy, just closing with a quote. As we grow with Christ, it's not how much we know. Not how much we know, but how much we surrender to the Lord. Heart, soul, mind, strength. Because we want him to, we know he has first place in all things. We want to learn how to celebrate that and put him first. He loves us so much, he wouldn't want to leave us in first place or attempting that. He knew that would be disastrous. So to have him in first place and sent by the Lord with the news of who he is. That's our calling as his people. Might we continue to, you know, walk behind him and at his side. Let's pray as we come to the table. Father, thank you so much for every son and daughter of yours here today. And we know you invite us into a relationship with yourself. We pray that as we come to your table, we would be trusting in you, knowing your first place at the table. And every meal we have ever was from your hand. And just a chance to live life from here to heaven under the great, wonderful King of Kings. We do that for our salvation, not trusting in ourselves. If anyone is here, Father, who never received Christ, I pray that they would say, I want Jesus to be my Savior. I want him in charge of my life. They were never created to be in charge of their own life. Their life does not belong to them. It rightfully belongs to you. So might they turn and receive you. And then as we come to your table, we remember folks who need your care physically. The ones fighting against cancer, intervene for them. And we think of some here today. Carolyn Azevedo. We remember Mark Lazaro, Marty Rogers. So many others, Virginia Wilson. Please sustain these folks. Pray for Judy Himmler, meeting with the doctors this week. Let your peace and wisdom be with them. And hear our silent prayers as we give you praise for what you mean to us. We also bring sin, brokenness, whatever is needed to be given to you so that we might know the righteousness of Christ in our experience. Hear our silent prayers.